For a while this morning, we were in between the dark and the daylight. And we are, at this time of the year, in between the last classes of school and graduation. Among other things, we spend that time taking final exams, making lots of decisions. There was once a time when the followers of Jesus were also in between. Jesus had ascended into heaven, but he had not yet sent the promised Comforter. And while they were waiting for Pentecost, they were casting lots. We read in Acts 1:26, "Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." The lots mentioned here, of course, were used to choose someone to fill the vacancy left when Judas Iscariot went out and hanged himself. There were about 120 disciples in those days, and they chose from their number two men who had been with them ever since John the Baptist began heralding the coming of the Messiah. Those men were Joseph, called Barsabas or Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed, asking the Lord to show them which of the two he had chosen. And the lot fell to Matthias. That may seem to us a little odd, but it was a custom of long standing among the Jews, the casting of lots. The promised land was divided up among the 12 tribes of Israel by casting lots, for so God had commanded it. The choice of men for an invading force was made by casting lots in the days of the judges. The selection of the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement was done by casting lots. And the orders of the priests and their daily duties were also assigned by lot. Proverbs 18 says, "Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart." We don't know exactly how they cast the lots. Some suggest that pebbles with marks on them were thrown into the lap or fold of a garment and then shaken up so that they were thoroughly mixed. We use our hats sometimes. Before they were drawn out by someone. Today, when we are calling pastors or teachers to represent us, the voting members of the congregations do not cast lots. They use their God-given good judgment and vote to elect a candidate. And at times when the suggestion is made, maybe we should just cast lots, it's usually a humorous suggestion. It seems to us that we would generally get a better decision if each one contributes his good judgment by means of voting. But is voting really any more reliable? If it's true, if it's really true that you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, might we not do just as well sometimes by casting lots? Proverbs 16:13 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." You see, I'm not really suggesting that we change our way of choosing pastors and teachers. Whether we cast lots or vote or have an assignment committee for graduates or have a bishop appoint the pastors and teachers, whatever method we may use, the most important part is that prayer that precedes it, that asks for the Lord's blessing. It is His blessing that we need, no matter what method we may use. Do you believe that? Then think for a moment about boyfriends and girlfriends and fiancés and fiancées and husbands and wives and any other life-affecting decisions that we may have to make. In some societies, the parents arrange the wedding when the children are quite small. Some of our overseas missionaries have met societies like that. In other societies, the children are of marriageable age, but it's still the parents who match the bride and groom. Elsewhere, it is just the father who makes the decision. Way back in Abraham's day, he wanted a good wife for his son Isaac. He sent his servant to make the decision, to make the selection. Many things have changed and are different in different societies. About 135 years ago, a young pastor in Little Rock, Arkansas, walked to the post office every day for weeks until he received a letter that informed him that he was engaged. I'm glad that in our society, the selection of a lifelong mate is left to the two people involved. And I'm not trying to change that. But does that really ensure any better choice than sending a servant or casting lots? Isn't it still the Lord who must bless if we are to be blessed? And could He not guide and bless us through any of the methods that we have mentioned? So let us not think that it is our method of choosing that makes all the difference. Our human nature thinks that's the case, and so we promptly forget to pray for God's guidance when we are entering relationships or making other decisions. Or at least, we don't pray as hard as we might if it were our parents making the decision or our profs deciding those things that will affect the rest of our lives. They might make a mistake. We might make a mistake. But the God whose guidance we seek, who knew how to save us from certain hellfire, and who was willing to do so at the cost of His own dear Son, He does not make mistakes. In His hands we are safe. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let us commit our ways to Him, and we will be safe. Hymn 532.